Well, it's Monday morning, and when Monday morning comes, Paul Smart always comes with every Monday morning. I don't understand how it works. I think he sleeps here over the weekend. Good morning,
well,
Mr. Smart.
It was just the buzz from the Oscars kept me up all night. Or, you know, actually, it was waiting. Here's an interesting thing. While watching the Oscars, there are a bunch of us around. God knows why we do this, but somebody asked, "Oh, what was Ang Lee's history?" And he had just won the Oscar. So I go up onto Wikipedia, and there they have that he just won the 2012 Oscar.
Wow.
It was changed within to 3 minutes, okay. I think.
I can tell you that from doing the news. Whenever they come up on and they announce the, unfortunately, the death of a star or someone famous, I immediately say, well, I got to get this person's history because I got to do it on the news tomorrow. I'll go up on Wikipedia maybe 5 minutes later, and they have that death date is there.
I know.
That's spooky.
The spookier thing, there's a new book out by a writer in the Hudson Valley, James Lasdin, a British writer, great author, poet, short story writer, and he has a book called Give Me Everything You Have, on being stalked. And it's about having a disgruntled writing student who went after him over a 12-year period. It's continuing. And
oh, my.
Amongst other things, she changed his Wikipedia entries, badmouthed him on Amazon, et cetera, et cetera. It was just a nightmare. Anyway, after all the stuff last night, quite a few, I keep forgetting that Daniel Day-Lewis actually lives in the Hudson Valley. He and he's married to the daughter of Arthur Miller, and they live somewhere on the other side. I believe it's Ulster County, and he's popped up occasionally. What's going to be interesting is to see what comes out about the First Lady's appearance on with Jack Nicholson by TV handing out the Best Picture Award.
Yeah, and I just heard about that this morning, so I'm sure there will be some kind of a quasi-political uproar.
Yep. Speaking of that, the big things this weekend, there's up on the GXC site, their newsroom site, there's information about all the people who went jumping into freezing water to raise money for COOC.
Fantastic.
I was going to talk about that. We don't need to say anything else. Well, they went swimming yesterday.
I will say that it will be on the WGXC afternoon news, and our own Jess Polugsky was there and did a comprehensive report interviewing people, and that is available on our WGXC website.
She
interviewed some of the plungers. Which
before
included,
and after.
Which included Assemblyman Pete Lopez and Congressman Chris Gibson.
Wow. That must have been interesting.
All right, yeah.
The other thing out that direction on Saturday was the Farming Our Future conference took place. And
yes.
There's a big story in the Register Star about that. Over 200 people attended, or as the paper put it, swelled. The Taconic Hill Central School District complex, for this, it's the second annual of these events, lots of workshops and panels on everything from farm finances to the definition of what locally grown means. And it's Columbia County's kind of recalibrating itself as a new agricultural center at the same time that Hudson kind of recalibrates itself as a fashion and foodie destination. So it's a kind of interesting growth going on over here. Catskill, there's all sorts of interesting things going on. This weekend's going to be the third annual Catskill Film and Video Festival taking place at the revived Union Mills complex on Main Street, 361 Main Street. And they've got a number of kind of mini festivals within the festivals. Their emphasis is on art films, but they'll also be doing a tribute to a fellow, Barry Kerr, who years ago used to run The Guide, which was a local publication. He ran the video store in Cairo, and then he loved film so much he started a film festival for teenagers that focused on kids from the Hudson Valley and then grew international. It came to an end, I believe it was last year, but there'll be a tribute to him. There'll be a examples and a tribute to Cine. It used to be Cine Manifest, and I think it's now called Cine Haiti. It's a film school that started in Haiti before the earthquake, and they kind of came into their own during the earthquake when nobody was able to get any footage. And these kids went out and shot film footage on their phones, and they managed to get it all onto international news around the world. And they'll be there. The latest thing is that, from what I hear, there's a new newly found film featuring Customato and Mike Tyson in his first professional fight that'll also be showing there as part of the third annual Catskill Film and Video Festival. Opening simultaneously will be a two-day Masters on Main Street show called The Glow Show, and there's a number of artists from here in Hudson, from throughout the Hudson Valley, and from downstate, international, and the whole idea are kind of projections and playing with the idea of light. And so it'll be a nighttime show. There's going to be a big party over there. Kind of behind the scenes in Catskill right now, there's a lot of rumors, a lot of talk going on right now about some possible big-time destination restaurants moving into town. There's a possibility of something going into the bank, the former Catskill Savings Bank, which is a glorious building. There's talk about an actual competition to place a restaurant into another, the former Mayflower restaurant spot. So stay tuned. Something seems, from what I'm hearing, the word is Catskill is cooking. So,
well, I have two things to add to your story. Todd Erling, who was here to discuss the Farming for Our Future program that he has, and you can find that on our WGXC website. And also, one of our intrepid reporters was at the event, and we have a whole lot of footage. It wasn't Karen, and I was just fishing, trying to make sure. I think it was Sam. Anyway, we have the some footage from that fair.
Oh, that'll be great.
And as for the Catskill Film Festival, I'm having two guests tomorrow. One of them you know quite well.
Oh, okay. I'll make sure that she's bright and chipper.
We will do. She's always bright and chipper. And we will be discussing the film festival and all the goings on.
Oh, great. The other thing is that's been kind of dominating the news of late, and have to return to it yet again, is all this reaction to the SAFE Act, to gun registration laws. And it's just to lead into this, last week, with the big news last week for anybody with kids was that it was vacation time. So everybody had to find a way of keeping their kids from being too bored. I took them to Virginia to grandma's house, but there I had to face a lot of people talking about how they had to have guns to protect themselves, and nobody, what it basically comes down to in these arguments, as I found it distilled through several family members, was that, they don't trust the government, including law enforcement anymore, especially in rural areas, so you have to be able to protect yourself. And then the other thing was that, look, all these, as somebody put it, all these inner city problems are going to come out here to the country or the suburbs or whatever, and we have to be able to protect ourselves. And
but
so,
here's the problem. None of those laws will in any way affect anyone's ability to protect themselves. There's just a huge misunderstanding going on here.
It's frustration over the election. It's frustration over the changing demographics. Years ago, after all the changes put into place in the early 60s, we then had the phenomenon of the silent majority. Well, everything's kind of reversed right now. These guys are very organized in terms of coming out to meetings or using Meetup and other sophisticated means of passing the word on when to show up. you know, the things last week, there was, of course, the Greene County Legislature's action. Ulster County Legislature passed another memorializing resolution. These things have no effect, but the meeting for the one in Ulster County drew over 1,000 people, and, you know, pretty much all male. For the first time, about a third of the people who showed up spoke in favor of gun control. They were shouted down, you know, in quite vociferous terms. There was a meeting at Kirwan's game store last Tuesday night, a big meeting, people talking about how to do this and or how to fight this fight and protect their guns and when to bring guns out to meetings. And the big thing this week is that it all comes to Hudson. So just beware. Maybe it would make sense to get somebody on Wednesday evening at 6:15. The legal committee, the Hudson Common Council, is going to be meeting at 520 Warren Street. And they're, you know, the talk is about a possible gun ban in Hudson. You know, it's the idea was brought up. It's been passing around viral through the Tea Party and other web groups online to bring out a lot of people. I read about it on, there's a thing called Oath Keepers, and Oath Keepers are, they call themselves Guardians of the Republic. They're out of Chatham, is one of the local chapters. There's chapters in Saugerties, kind of all over the area, and each chapter has several hundred people. They're all going to wear shirts and caps. They want a capacity crowd, is how they're putting it. The way they describe themselves is that they're a nonpartisan association of active duty and retired military, reserves, National Guard, police and peace officers, firefighters, veterans, and others who will continue to fulfill the oath we all swore to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, so help us God. You know, their motto is "Not on our watch." Locally, they're run by a guy, John Wallace, who is supporting a lot of this. He's head of Gray Rider Real Estate Company up in Chatham, in your neck of the woods. So look for a lot of activity in here in Hudson on Wednesday night. And
Hopefully, when the shouting stops and the more reasonable voices come in to play, we both sides will be able to hear each other and understand each other. Which brings me to, speaking of understanding, this is the WGXC Morning Show, and this is the portion of our show where we review the Weekend Review with journalist Paul Smart. The opinions heard on this show are those of the speakers only and not those of WGXC. And we encourage input from our audience, especially if you have something to say on the subject. Give us a call or contact us on at WGXE.org.
Yeah, what we're watching out there, I mean, with this and with you know, the frustrations over this sequestration and other issues is venting. A lot of people are just need to vent. And I think a lot of it comes from the fact that we've moved from print media into you know, radio, online, television, it's become more and more passive, and people need a way, once they soak all this information up and these opinions, to get out and shout their own opinion. So look for that over the coming year. Here's some kind of interesting takes on some of the big local news going on. As everybody knew, there was this big scare last week where somebody hacked into Central Hudson, into their financial information. Anybody who is a Central Hudson customer who's paid online, if you're in danger, they will have alerted you by now. But what I found interesting was what they're saying, Central Hudson is saying now, is that if something bad happened to you, they're going to give you full year of complimentary credit monitoring. Yippee. Some other things out there. This one's always is a fascinating little thing where Hudson Common Council's Economic Development Committee met last Thursday, and they're talking about ways of redirecting Route 9G through Hudson. And I'm one of those people that, you know, spends a lot of time driving around upstate, and you follow a route through a town, and you kind of wonder, okay, here I am in this town, I'm going down Main Street, now I'm going down Church Street, and now I'm turning onto this street, and then I'm turning onto this street, and then you have to kind of pay attention. Next thing you know, on the other side of town, you're back on the highway, or you're on a different highway.
You've completely thrown me, and my ADHD deprives me of being location. I'm map challenged, but I don't see how 9G can go through Hudson. Am I wrong?
No, it does go through Hudson. It does already come through Hudson.
Oh, okay.
It comes in over the flats, comes up 3rd Street, and then I think it comes up 3rd, and then it goes up
Columbia. So, yeah, that's so the continuation of 9G.
Yeah, and
okay,
so
it's, I get it.
It turns out that these decisions are made by new municipalities on how to pass a road through a town. But it's a big decision. You can't make that decision and then change it a few months later, because everybody gets it into their GPS systems, into their collective memories, et cetera. So just a fascinating process. And it started several years ago. Actually, I believe Linda and Claudia at Time and Space Limited were pretty effective there at getting things moving. It all kind of went into a pause for a while as everybody just got worried about money over the last 2 years. But, you know, another sign of that shifted pendulum is that they're looking at completing this process. Another thing along those lines with the Columbia County Industrial Development Agency is that they recently or last week approved tax breaks for a new warehouse operation from Premier Brands of America that's going to move into the former Walmart property out on Fairview Avenue in Greenport. Good news in terms of repopulating that large structure. It'll be interesting to see what happens now as it all goes through the planning process, because of the fact that warehousing operations mean a lot of trucks come and go, and that's a busy area. And it's already slowing down because of the number of traffic stops and entries and exits from the main highway. So speaking of planning issues, we talked a little bit a couple weeks ago about how the town of Hunter up on the mountaintop in Greene County is looking at writing a zoning law for the first time. They've had a planning board I remember when I was running the paper up there a number of years ago, the head of the planning board went and started a business in this protected area. It was just, he said, well, you know, I've got the money to do it and I can do it, and there was no law to break it. Well, now, talk about a big shift. You know, they're dealing with issues up there, like they have Mountain Jam takes place early June. This year they're going to have the Taste of Country Music Festival the following weekend, which means thousands of people passing through town. The town board said they didn't, they could handle whatever traffic surge was going to happen, and approved everything, said there'd be no problem. You know, with a zoning law, there'll be a way of doing that in an objective fashion, so that if a problem does occur afterwards, and as you know, you were up there last year,
yes,
weren't you? It bottlenecks.
I have news for you. I think the Country Western Festival will be larger, because Country Western is taking a hold like a house on fire.
I know. Yeah, it's huge, and it'll pull people from the west down 23 as well. So it's going to be interesting trying to get through up there. The side story that came up there is that the Hunter Village Board has been talking about a billboard on the way into the village there that it's rented by a pest control agency, and they have these big billboard things about mice carry diseases, and you know, previous one was all about bugs and stuff, and they're saying this may not be the way we want to advertise our town. So talk about an interesting little look at things. The other thing that's happening right now, you know, we have our village board elections are pretty much, you know, they'll be already at this point. And it's, as happens with villages around here, and this includes everything except for, say, the village of Catskill, which goes on to the regular town election schedule. It looks like incumbents everywhere. Nobody's kind of stepping forward right now. Those who would want to run are dealing with issues that have nothing to do with local municipalities.
There's a story on our WGXC news Coxsackie blog.
Yeah, and it's given that Hunter and Tannersville and Claverack and, you know, all these towns, it seems that everything's just kind of staying put for right now. Where the action is right is at the moment, our school board starting to figure out how to handle what has turned out to be less money. There was all this promise when Cuomo trotted out his budget last month that there was going to be more money coming into education, but it came with all these riders and caveats, et cetera, and it turns out it's not coming into education on a local basis. A few places, Catskill, I think Hudson may do okay, but a lot of rural districts are losing money, and as school districts try to figure out how to get down to the 2% tax cap, you know, they're letting programs go, and with the possibility of lots of money getting dropped through the sequester problems, they're really realizing that they're in a crunch period. And so Capital Region legislators are you know, meeting with Andrew Cuomo. They've been petitioning him to add $350 million into the state budget to help with this growing problem. Meanwhile, there's a lot of talk over in Greene County and on a statewide basis of figuring out how to consolidate districts, at least on an administrative level, so that look in the coming years where you have, instead of each school district having its own superintendent and board of education, that you'll have it, you know, maybe even on at the most drastic would be on a county level, but it would probably be, you say, the Greene County Mountaintop area, or North Greene County, South Greene County, or Western Columbia County versus Eastern Columbia County. Somehow it's all going to get reconfigured in the coming years. And whether that works for the better or the worse is anyone's idea. You know, a few years ago, everyone was saying, you know, we have to split up our schools because of the possibility that at some point we're going to run out of oil and the gas for transportation. But everyone has conveniently forgotten that idea at this point. So maybe it'll come back into, in at some point. The final thing here in Hudson, Mayor Bill Hallenbeck, as the Register Star put it, cajoled the Common Council. They voted last week to go beyond the weighted form of voting that they've used in recent years to a simple majority. Now, the two areas that voted against that were the first and third wards, which are on the south side of town, where there's been a lot more development. You're starting to see political differences come into play here in town. This side of Warren Street voted to get rid of the weighted system. This will play out in other ways.
Okay. All right. You know, so that's a stay tuned.
That's a stay tuned. The other thing on Hallenbeck, just to bring up, is that in all this stuff around the gun meeting that's happening on Wednesday, one of the things that Oath Keepers put up on their website last week was that Hallenbeck supposedly assured representatives from Oath Keepers and others in the Tea Party contingent that he would veto any effort to ban guns from Hudson. So, you know, and he supposedly urged them to have a large physical and vocal presence at this legal committee on Wednesday evening. So really pay attention to that. Looking back in history on Wikipedia, not a whole lot on this date. It's in terms of birthdays, it's, you know, on this date in 1861, the educator and philosopher Rudolf Steiner was born. Steiner has a large role in Columbia County with, you know, it's his ideas that are behind Hawthorne Valley and the Hawthorne Valley School. In 1873 on this date, the famous Italian tenor Enrico Caruso was born. Yep. And then just from pop music, we've got Ralph Stanley, who's just figured quite prominently in the Oh Brother, Where Art Thou soundtrack. And you know, just kind of one of the fathers of modern bluegrass, was born on this date in 1927. George Harrison,
he's my feature Beatle. He's my feature person today.
I know, and it's you know, was born 70 years ago today, and you know, it's hard to think that he passed away in 2001. That
passed
long
away
ago.
In 2001 of lung cancer.
Yep. You know, and then you know, two others that you might not have gotten: Doug Yule, who was a played bass with the Velvet Underground, a very kind of seminal American band, and sang some on some of their later albums, was born on this date. And then an early friend of WGXC, the musician John Doe, who had a band called X, was born on this date in 1954. So, and he actually came into the studio, I think it was in its first week or second week, and recorded some PSAs and did a whole interview with Karen Schomer here. So that's the wrap-up for this last Monday in February.
The last Monday in February, believe it or not, March is marching on. And as a matter of fact, in a couple of 2 weeks, we're going to be turning the clock.
Oh, yes.
We're going to be springing forward. Thank you, Paul Smart, for bringing us up to date on the goings-on in and around Greene and Columbia counties. As Paul